You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, I'm Big J Okerson.
And I'm Dan Soder.
And you're listening to the Best of the Bonfire. Stay tuned to hear some of our favorite moments from this week. You can listen to the Bonfire live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Also, be sure to follow us on all social media at The Bonfire SXM.
Campers, what's up? It's King Black Lou, and welcome to the Bonfire's Best of the Week. With a flood of Bonfire camper emails about getting caught sexting, the Bonfire hosts reminisced about the times they got caught and the fallout that ensued. I never got caught, because you keep your phone locked and in your pants pocket at all times.
This is something that I think is a problem or a conflict now in modern era with camera phones and everyone having like the way that sexting has turned into like sending dirty pictures or whatever. But there's definitely been moments where like years ago, I'm talking about like 5 years ago, I had nudes of an ex and would like jerk off to him all the time. And then we got into a fight or like she was like, hey, can you delete those for me? And I was like, yeah. And I deleted them. And then now I'm like, son of a bitch. There's so much good stuff that I just deleted because I was being a good guy. And then horny me is like, you fool.
Well, I delete when fans have sent stuff, even like I tend to get rid of them like pretty quick for the sake of just like.
He said if he dies, he doesn't want people to see inside his phone.
Yeah. I would just feel really fucking bad.
It's just riddled with filth.
Dude, the feds can hack it now. They turned out Apple wouldn't let him in. Remember after that mass shooting in California? And they were like, no, you can't break into the phone. Now the feds are like, we got in, dude. So they're going to be able to pop that lock.
Let me also say that I should really put this out there because during quarantine, the fans have been absolutely fantastic to me, and a handful that have sent stuff to me and Christine Dooley, not even a handful, actually under a handful, but like that have sent stuff to me and Christine. But let me ask it, Christine's with me because she's also a garbage sexual animal. So feel free to send along your cock pics, guys, to Christine, or ladies, if you want to send your book. Christine's a fan of pussy.
So, I turned 35 this year. This is the year I own my garbage sexuality instead of being embarrassed by it.
So I'm saying instead of
a pig, send me your stuff.
Also, Christine will be like, hey, can I see? And then I'm like, I hate anyone looking at my phone or having my phone. So I'm like, can you just ask them to send it to you also? We'll send it to you also, I think. So,
I'm like, do they not know that I'm going to see it?
Jay, is there ever
don't leave Christine out.
Jay, have you ever let Christine order like Seamless on your phone or whatever? Like when you're ordering something off Seamless, you know, it's her turn to look at the menu. Do you ever give her your phone? Like you take a look.
Yes, I have, but I fucking hate it.
But you feel like at any moment. So that's like, you know, we keep Myrtle on a leash, like in the living room. So she can't run around through the apartment. It's a long leash, but there's times where like, we'll let her off the leash to come on the couch and hang out. And one time, she got excited and jumped off the couch and ran around the house. And I was like, yeah, she doesn't realize that those moments that she can just go fucking buck wild if she's when she's on the couch and just run around the house. And that's what I think about those phones where it's like, Christine holds your phone and she's like, fuck Seamless. I'm just going in through the photos. And you'd be like, no, fuck it, back on the couch. Get back on the couch.
We've had mild arguments. This is a good conversation. And by the way, if it's if you don't want to jump into it at all, Christine, we could edit it. We're pre-recording. But like, I think you're fine with this level of it. But it is so funny. Like Christine's, like I'll show her, like, I'm like, hey, this girl, like, you know, sending pictures. She wants to, you know, she doesn't care if you see, she wants us both to see or whatever. And then she's like, what did you say? And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, well, let me just read the messages, like full transparency. I'm like, please don't read the message. And she's like, well, can I read the messages? I'm like, I don't know why. I just don't, I don't care if she sees the pictures or whatever, but I don't want to see me. Goes like, so sexy. Like,
that's exactly what I was like, gonna
please
say.
Don't make me show you that,
Christine. There's no way for in your position, there's no way that you can't come in and think everyone is corny, because Jay, inevitably, you getting to the nudes is precursed by you being like this.
Yeah, basically.
Like, oh, I'm like,
baby, and Jay's like, oh, but baby, if you send it to me, it'd be so, like you said, so sexy. So
Jay's also very wordy and good at giving attention. So there's sometimes too where it's like, I've had Jay's password on his phone for years. He's never changed it. I don't use it. I don't go in there.
Yeah.
If I go in there, there will 100% be something that will just hurt my feelings. Like, regardless of like what we do and how open and blah, 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 there's going to be something that just like, you know, and it's also, it's like, I like hearing stories and I like, you know, I like hearing what happens. Not at any moment am I in the mood to hear the stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you saying?
I didn't understand that last line at all.
Yeah. Like, if I'm like, oh, tell me about the girl, you know, not any moment.
You give like 17 negatives. I'm not never in the mood.
It's not like I won't go into his phone, because I'm not saying that I wouldn't get turned on by like seeing or hearing a conversation of him with another woman and seeing pictures. No. Not always. Like, there could be a thing where maybe I'm pissed off about something or thinking about something, and I'm like, I don't want to see that right now. So I'm it's a weird adjustment.
Dude, here's the best way to put it. There's stuff in my phone that will make Christine punch me awake and then conversation be over and squashed in 20 minutes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So it's like, I get it. It's like, it's all hyper emotional stuff. So it can flare up and then 20 minutes later, it's like, Oh yeah. Yeah, but, of course. Whatever. Well, can I see? Christine, can I see the picture again?
For Christine, for you to have that awareness to not go in his phone, even knowing the password, that's a heavy, heavy temptation. That's a very heavy temptation, because I look at it the same way I feel about YouTube comments, where there'll be times where I'm like, maybe I want to go peruse a YouTube comment. And then one will just ear hole me, where I'll be like, I don't stutter. It's just like,
do I want to spend my time?
That guy.
Do I want to spend my time like sneaking around to get his phone while he's sleeping, to go into the bathroom, to open it up and hope that he doesn't wake up, to try to find something to like, because I feel like he's not showing transparency on me when I know what he's doing. It's like, I know he's flirting with other women. I know he's sexting with other women. So why would I rile myself up?
Yeah. Dude, the picture getting in my head of waking up and you look over to my left and I go, he goes, let me see if anybody called while I was asleep. Where's my phone? Dude, the parkour. I'm just picturing, you know, the layout of my house, like out of my room, running on the table, Dukes of Hazzard sliding across the counter, going around the thing. And like, Christine.
She's just on the toilet and she's like, I'm reading several conversations. You're like, just put it down.
What? That's not cool. What's not cool?
In quarantine, I've gotten a little bit more bored myself and a little bit more adventurous myself. And in doing things like that myself, you go, this is fucking fun and harmless and some nice way to spend some time.
But also it can fuck your shit up if you hit some stuff you're not prepared for.
But the grand scheme of the whole thing is just like you said before, it's just like, but by the way, I mean that if like you or Lewis or DJ Lou or anybody was like, if I was like, hey, look at this picture here or whatever, or just like, you know, hey, look at this, you see this crazy website, and then you start grabbing at the phone, I'm like, how's that, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, swipes you are away from a picture of my cock.
I've never,
God knows what. I don't know how far away you are from this thing.
I think I've held your phone once in our entire friendship.
I remember when I took Jay's.
It was June 3rd, 98. I remember the date.
No, but we were driving down to Philly, and I think I had to hold it real quick for music, and you were like, all right, I got it.
That's a lot of big. I get a lot of that in the car too. Thank God now cars have gone to. The controls are pretty much on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
People do that all the time. They go, dude, just tell me what song you want to, and I'll put it on. I go, shut the fuck up, dude, and just sit there.
Don't like, look at my stuff.
I remember you let me take your phone. We're sitting at the back table at the old stand, and you let me take your phone to go plug it in downstairs. And I think it was like Nate, Lewis, a bunch of friends, and everybody was like, dude, you just let her take your phone?
It was one of those things where you're just like, if you fight it too hard, you're like, well, what the fuck is in there? And you're like,
it's just obvious.
What the fuck's in there? And it's just like, obviously, honestly, not things that are going to be like, we have to break. It's nothing like that. It's just like, I don't know, man. It's just like all the stuff you do and look at and you're just like, no one else. This is my personal thing, my computer in my pocket.
You know, what's crazy is Christine brought up something that, I mean, the bonfire was around for it, and Christine was still working at the stand when it happened, but I was hanging out with a waitress that worked there. I got out of a relationship, started texting with a waitress that worked there. We were flirting. I found out she was dating the bartender, and I'm like, oh, well, then we're good. I'm not going to do that. He was a nice guy. I'm not a fucking dickhead. And she's like, you're right. They break up. When they broke up, she immediately texted me. It was like, hey, are you still single? And we started flirting again. he found out we hooked up because she was charging her phone at the bar at the stand, and he knew her password, and he went into her phone and read her whole conversation. And then, you know,
move, dude, that's a dick move on that guy. That's a dick. How can you not? You just don't do that.
But because also all it did was made him assume that she cheated on him with me, which she didn't. And then he came at me like I was doing that. And I have the energy of, dude, I'll fuck you up. I don't give a shit. I mean, not like I'm that tough. It would have been funnier if he would have just kicked the fuck out of me.
The funniest thing, you just catch a fucking Captain Morgan's bottle across the top of the head.
Oh, dude, then just drags me down that 3-part staircase at the old stand where I'm like, by my hair.
He starts moving your mouth and going, like, hey, I'm Darren. I do voices. Oh, like, good my voice. Clown.
Here's my clown. Voice of a guy that. That whole thing stopped her and I from hanging out because I was like, that's way too much drama, and we didn't fuck it. And you know, second of all, that guy apologized to me.
Yeah.
Like a year, like really cool move was like, dude, I was wrong. I think I fucking read into that too wrong. He's like, you never changed your story, so I know you're not lying. I also, she told me that you weren't that, you know, that that's what happened. And he's like, so I appreciate you, man. Sorry. And I was like, dude. It was one of the only times in my life where a thing worked itself out where I was like, whoa, this guy fucking learned.
Well, it's awesome. Funny. I've stayed in touch with a lot of the staff from the stand over the years, even though things, and when you think about things like this, it's like you see people and you're like, oh, they were also like 23, like 22, and just like young emotions. And it's fun now to see, because I was only 26 when I was managing them and they were like 21. But they always felt like my babies. And now seeing everybody like get into their 30s, it's been interesting to watch everybody grow up too.
Well, you know, what's funny is I follow that waitress on, she's not a waitress now. She's like a writer, but I follow her on Twitter and she doesn't follow me back. She doesn't follow me back. And I'm like,
that's great.
And immediately I'm like, are you mad at me? Did I do something wrong? Did you go through my phone? Like, what happened? Over
it could obviously just be a raging lie, but I say it only because it is genuinely true. But like, several times through like years now, like when Christine's had to use my computer or whatever for something, I've had her email and her Facebook or something like that up on my thing. And like, I genuinely think I could look through it for hours and be bored out of my gourd and not get upset. But that said, I just always immediately click off of it, almost like karmically, just to be like, I don't look through anybody's shit. I don't want anybody to look through my shit. Rosa had a bunch of his shit open on my thing, and I just X'd it out right away.
I remember 2014, I had my ex-girlfriend was, you know, she was my girlfriend at the time. She was using my laptop, and I was asleep. Mm-hmm. And I woke up, and it was like, usually in the morning, you have that energy of like, hey, good morning. Like, you want to go get food or whatever? And I was like, hey, what's up? And she's like, hi. And I was like, oh no, what's up? And she's like, I just went through your Facebook messages. And I was like, what? And then I was furious. I immediately was like, why the fuck are you going through my Facebook messages? Because I wasn't doing anything. There was a hot girl Facebook messaged me, and I kept the conversation going on a little longer than I should have. You know what I mean? Where it was like, when are you going to come to San Diego? And I was like, I don't know. Is there anything good to do in San Diego? It's like one of those things. You know what I mean? You're like, I don't know. What can I find in San Diego? Dude,
humiliating.
Humiliating. And then she was mad. She was mad because she was like, you kept the conversation going. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I didn't fucking say anything. I wasn't like, you want to see my cock or like, show me your tits. It wasn't like flirty. It was kind of flirty in the way of like, so what's San Diego
she
like?
She goes, well, maybe, I think it's one of the best towns in the world if you have the right tour guide.
And I go, oh, I got a lot of shows, but I'm always down for some good recommendations. And it's just like, that went out.
I have to take you to this amazing place for
Bonnaroo. By the way, the same girlfriend, while we're getting picked up for fucking Bonnaroo by Nate, because we flew into Nashville. I've told this story on the show for sure. She's got her phone open, and it's a picture of her in this. She was living in LA at the time. It's a picture of her and this jacked dude in a pool together. And I'm like, who's this guy? And she's like, that's my friend. And then it's like, that's supposed to just be shut down. Where I'm like, oh, cool. No, you live in LA and I live in New York, and you're hanging out with a guy that looks like he's on Muscle Fitness magazine. No, that's cool.
Dude, yeah, Keith Robinson's
kid's mom, his son's mom, dude, he came home one day and saw a picture of her like up on the mantle of her and like a muscle dude. He was like, "What? What's that about?" She's like, "That's my cousin." That was like the argument they got into. That's my cousin. Yeah. I got a framed picture of your shirtless cousin up here.
Dude, someone, a jacked guy following you on any girlfriend is so funny. It's so fun. Remember that video I showed you guys of the guy doing the backflips holding the kettlebells?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like, yeah. That's who you go to? You go from me to that? She's like, "I had him soft, and now I need him hard."
This guy's like my fitness guy.
It's really is Patrice used to have that that joke, and it's just like, like, don't go digging. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if you dig like a bunch, you're gonna find shit that's gonna just bum you out.
Black Lou, do you think if you went through your wife's phone, you'd find some shit that would piss you off?
Not at all.
Same here. She could go through mine anytime.
Yeah, I think particularly your phone and Patrice's phone were probably phones that could piss a bitch off.
What, Jay and Patrice's? Yeah.
Campers, what's up? It's Black Lou again. Jay and Dan were both moved by the documentary Red Dog and related with the filmmaker Luke Dick's childhood. They talked about growing up with single moms and the crazy stepdads in their lives.
When my mom was all hormone fucked up, pregnant with my sister Shauna.
Yeah.
Dude, she chased me, I mean, over nothing. He laughed at this. It was over. I remember exactly what it was about. She asked me to take the garbage out.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, my friend John Amon, Christine's met a few times. I go, John's leaving in like 10 minutes, so I'll just follow him out the back.
Very rational, great idea. Thank you.
She did like an I said now thing, and it was just like,
oh, yeah.
And I think it was almost like, you know, my personality at the core wasn't necessarily different, you know what I mean? So it was a very like, just seemed unreasonable, even whatever age I was. I was like, why? She's like, now I'm like, why? Like, John's leaving. Like, why go up and down out back? Like, when John, I'll just walk him down and take it down. And it was just like a fucking, like I said, now. And John hauled ass out of the house, and my mom chased me into my room with a frying pan.
Like, that's crazy.
Crazy. But she even said she actually had like issues when she gets pregnant, like hormonally. She I waited in my room listening to music. I had no TV or anything. I listened to my boombox in my room.
Yeah.
And when Joe came home and saved me, like talked her off the fucking ledge.
Joe's the man, dude.
It was just over. Yeah. He was just like, whoa, you know, yeah.
You need a good stepdad, because my mom was like, you know, on the other end of that, my mom was so fucking stressed out that before she met Nick was right when she was coming out of bankruptcy. So she was like trying to fight out of bankruptcy from when I was like 5 to 10. And one time she was like running late, and she used to take the bus. She would drive her car to Taco Bell, and then she would take the bus to downtown Denver where she worked. So she had to get to the bus by like this certain bus, and she had to drop me off at, or I could walk to school. That was when I was walking to school, and I was like 8 or 9. And dude, my friend Johnny came over, and Johnny was downstairs, and my mom was like, "Hey, come upstairs." And I, dude, you want to talk about remembering something crystal clear? I couldn't get the clasp of her necklace on. She was like, you know, she's in like her power suit or whatever. And she fucking unloaded on me. And when you walked out, like, you know, beat the hell out of me. And when I go downstairs, you see Johnny, and Johnny's like, "What's up?" And you're like, "I think she just walked to school." It's like, let's just get the fuck out of it. But like that brisk, but like he can hear my body thumping on the ground, and then get up and you're like, come downstairs, and you're like, "You ready to go learn?" I'm fucking motivated. But I don't realize why the reason I'm telling the story is like, my mom was under such an extraordinary amount of pressure of like trying to keep the house, trying to fucking keep her kid fed. Her ex-husband's doing nothing. And then like I was going up there being like, "I don't know how to do it." And she was like, "Fuck it, just do it." And I'm like, "Oh, you're a fucking nightmare." And now I'm older and I'm like, "Oh yeah, dude, I get frustrated with Myrtle when she's trying to poop. She's a dog." And I'm like, "Come on." And I'm like, "Whoa, that's a replay of my mom."
My mom was on edge for sure at time. And also, was it funny, another parallel, Dan, like, I do believe, I can double check this, but I'm almost certain, like, my mom, I think, declared bankruptcy more than once in my lifetime.
Yeah, dude, moms who claim bankruptcy. Bankrupt moms, raising boys.
I didn't go through that, but then she, I said, it's so funny, like, the few, like, these fleeting memories of like childhood, especially with Joe. When Joe came back, I was still like 9, you know, 10.
Yeah, well, he caught you.
Still a long time ago. But hey, let me say this real quick. Yeah. It was that, I remember like the funny and the good of like them laughing me out of the MC Hammer pants to go in. But one where Joe exacerbated a problem, not by choice.
Yeah.
Was my mom, this almost got me fucking, my mom did hear, again, another like pregnant, like lunatic thing.
Yeah.
My mom did hear would have fucking, I could have called the cops on her, I think, if, especially if she made contact. I may have told this before too, but she was telling me to go to my room. It was, again, another, like, whatever it was crazy. It was her hormones. And I'm like, you know, my stepfather's even trying to tell her that. It's like, why is she getting so irate?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It might have been, I don't even remember what that argument was about, but it was just like, she was irate. And I was like, to go in your room. And it was just one of those, like, why? Like, what? Like, I'm punished for
what? She wanted you out of her sight.
I'm already, this is, and this is, by the way, just our apartment. You know what I mean? This isn't like even the townhouse. This is the apartment. And she's like, tell me to go to my room. And I'm significantly bigger than my mom at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? I don't, for what? Like, I'm not doing it. And then she just starts like, I said, and starts pushing me.
Yeah.
But like not moving me. She's tiny.
Yeah. Terry's a tiny lady.
And she's not moving me at all. And dude, my stepfather starts laughing.
Oh.
Hard. And he goes, and my mom's like, what's the, what is it? What's the funny? He goes, my stepfather says, he goes, it looks like an ant trying to push an elephant. And my mom goes, oh, you, I can't move him? You don't think I can move him? Dude, and I go, I start going to my room because I see her grab one of those. Have you ever seen like a single stem rose vase?
Yes.
Like thick. Yes. It's heavy and thick. It's like a like a mini baseball bat.
Yeah.
And dude, she takes that thing. That's the one of the things you throw. If you throw it at a wall that's like a plaster wall, it's not going to break the vase.
It's a, if it's crystal, it's even heavier. But if it, even if it's not, it's fucking thick glass.
Which is thick glass. And I mean, she threw that thing, and it was like, at the time we moved, there was like a fucking like a break in the drywall from her winging that thing at me, and it didn't hit me. But man, if it made contact, that'd have been a, like she would have been crying probably moments afterwards. But yeah. That's how wild she got. But Joe definitely laughing at her trying to push me because she was so serious did not make the situation better.
Joe would, my mom and I would get into like knockdown, drag out fights when I was a kid, like just screaming at each other. And with Nick around, I felt like
I saw the picture. I saw the picture of her holding you down from an autistic fit on the couch.
She goes, it's okay. It's okay. Someone get his jacket. Someone get his restrainer jacket.
Someone put one of his bath books in his mouth. Put a bath book in his mouth.
Nick, I need you to draw you a warm bath. We're going to have to drop him in the water. He's freaking out. But Nick, my mom and I were like, I was playing sixth grade basketball. I was on the basketball team and I sucked, and we had practice, but it was winter and it was dark at like 4 PM. My mom and I got into an argument before I had to go to practice. It was like 40 minutes before I had to go to practice. And I remember I was like, well, maybe I'll just run away like that. And my mom just goes, and like Nick laughs. For some reason, Nick's like, all right, like, because we were both being dramatic. Dude,
the same way you would laugh if a kid 50-year-old said that, because I'm running like this, are you now?
And can you imagine a little bobblehead child with feathered hair being like, I will run away? And you're like, shut up, you little gay wad.
I'm pretty sure Isabel threw "I'm running away" at me at one point.
I don't know if you'd pulled this move, but I am my little fucking big alien head with feathered hair. And I'm like, I'm going to run away. My mom goes, oh, yeah, because Nick laughed. And I remember it was just like, my mom was like, oh, this isn't funny. And so she goes to the closet. She bought me this like white Colorado Avalanche jacket that I never liked, but it was my winter jacket. That was like
the
winter
padded, so she could throw punches at you full.
Yeah, wouldn't lump me up. But she goes, oh, you want to run away? And she took the jacket and opened the front door and fucking winged my jacket out the door. And she goes, then fucking run away. And I was like, I don't want to run away. And then I was like, oh, Nick, can you take me to basketball practice? And I just remember Nick. We went and picked up my friend Eric Medina, and he was like, what's wrong, dude? Because I was in the front, and I was like, I told my mom I was going to run away, and she told me to run away. And he's like, just run away to my house. And I was like, I don't like your house.
Yeah. Your dad drinks too much.
Your basement sucks. Actually, you had an awesome basement. But that was like a funny thing where stepdads make it worse.
The runaway from home, I think they, I mean, I ran away from home. If I didn't announce that I was running away from home, they would have just assumed I just had to go home when everybody else had to go home because they weren't running away from home.
Yeah.
I was outside in West Philadelphia at night with like a bag of nothing. I don't even know if I grabbed a bag or whatever it was, like my essentials. And I think I tried to go to my grandmother's house, and my grandmother was sort of like,
Dude, my mom would always play the, when I'd go, I want to live with dad. My mom would always be like, please, please go live with dad. Go see how that goes for you. She, I mean, not even like, not in like a fucking, oh, that won't hurt me. In a real way of like, I would like to see the logistics of this. I would like to see how you would live, how your father would put you in school would be interesting to me. And you're kind of like, it was kind of like me. You're like,
I did it enough times. And my mom was like,
pull the card. I respect the fuck out of Terry for pulling that. I respect the fuck out of your mom for being like,
well, buddy, you want to hear what's crazy about it? You know what's crazy about it? And don't, it shouldn't make you have any less respect for her. She's my mom. And I, you know, again, it was me and her for many years, you know?
Yeah.
Even if I was with my grandparents a lot, I mean, I was her only kid and she was in my life every day, you know? But like, my mom, fuck, where was I just going with that?
Oh, we were talking about Terry.
Moving my dad. Yeah. And so my mom was like, yeah, fine, go. And then we got a hold of my dad. He had sort of like the, you're not supposed to say no. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's a thing. That's so funny. That's a thing you cannot say no to if you're a deadbeat dad and you're away from the family.
You're supposed to appear as if you're fucking thrilled that you finally now have what you've always wanted. But my mom, when it was getting down to the wire, was definitely like, wanted me not to go. And then, and my grandmother was like, oh, he said he wants to go. And my grandmother didn't want me to go either, but she was just like, no, like, she basically, my grandmother had the wisdom to be like, let's nip this in the bud.
Yeah.
Like, let's take this experiment. She goes, make him go for a year. And my grandma was like, you're going to go for a year and see how it goes. And in months, it was going real, real bad. And I called home and my mom was immediately like, of course, yes. And my grandmother fought her on that a little bit. Now, they ended up letting me come back. As I said, my grandmother wanted me back too. My grandma was trying to hold firm on like the, you should make him. Now,
stay the full year.
The answer is I did learn my lesson, at least in that regard. I was like, I never said again, like, I'm going to live with dad, like never again.
You know what's interesting about that entire situation of you moving to Canton is the fact that your mom pulled that trigger, your grandma pulled the trigger, your dad let you move in and everything, and it was just to prove a point that you shouldn't live with your dad. That was like, how funny of an experiment. Or like, what's the best possible outcome is that he doesn't want to live with me and we all prove that his mom's much more prepared to take care of him. Cool.
I think my stepmom looked at it and it was going to be a year, and she wanted to see if she could ramp that up a little bit.
Yeah, she goes, watch this. She goes, year, I'll have him out in six. Just stand by, watch me work. Yeah.
She did not enjoy my company.
Black Lou, did you ever go move in with your dad? I know you fought once, but did you ever pull that on your mom?
Not earlier. She really wouldn't. She wouldn't. I hung out with him a couple weekends and like fell and hurt myself, so she would really never let that go down.
Dude, you come back with an injury to a mom after seeing your dad, and she's like, I'm not letting you fucking live with that guy. Like,
I don't know why I want to see. Can we say that Boys in the Hood is Black Lou's life story?
Oh, dude!
I got sent to live with my dad, furious. He was a cool dude. He had a lot of wise stuff to say to the neighborhood kid.
He would hold these meditation balls.
He's real big on those meditation balls. He's got a pretty sick, oddly narrow weight bench in the house. He'll cut your hair while you lie to him about getting pussy.
The smell. That's how I learned that pussy has a smell. The movie where he goes, I could smell. I guess grandma came home from church and could just smell the sex. And I was like, you can smell sex? I remember being like seven and seeing that movie and being like, you could smell sex? That's pretty cool. Yeah, my mom, whenever I would pull the, I'm going to live with him, I want to live with him, she legitimately just be like, how is that going to work? Tell me how that's going to work. You're both going to live with your grandmother? You're gonna sleep every night on a pull-out couch, and I was like, "That sounds
awesome." With your dad's big horn flopping around, you know he sleeps bottomless.
Well, look at the one I got. She just grabs Nick's dick, and I'm like, "Don't do that."
She goes, "It's like this minus like a half an inch."
Yeah, she goes, "You want
to
see the?
You want to be next to that?
You want
to
see the 2.0?"
I'm in Stone, where I'm from before, also because I had a school that went from kindergarten to 12th grade, so I am in Stone. Yeah. In my neighborhood with my friends. I'm going to a place where no one who knows who the fuck I am at all.
Dude, I would fantasize about that all the time. Like, what if I moved to San Francisco and I was just the coolest kid at my middle school? And then I was like, oh, I wouldn't be. Absolutely wouldn't be. Those kids would eat me up.
I was not.
I would show up there and they'd be like, where are you from? They'd be like, what? What are you even talking about? Dude, being a new kid and moving in with your dad. So you're moving to Canton and you're getting adjusted to his life.
Damn, then I thought they were going to be friendly. I thought they were going to be friendly in school, dude. They were so fucking it was so weird, man.
They were just immediately like, fuck
you. I wasn't trying to be an outcast. I was like, maybe I can go. You know, I didn't know. It was, by the way, it was the first year of junior high. Ooh. I was going into it. No, that's kind of good because these people are changing from other schools too. So I'm like, I'm coming in new, but like one of the new. And it didn't feel that way, dude. It felt like everybody knew each other. And man, they were just not friendly at all. I didn't make any long-term friend. One, I mean, one long-term friend there, Kenny. That's a 6'7" fucking black dude who walked around in a jean jacket and carried, carrying the boombox with him.
That's badass.
But one of the times I got like picked on, I guess is the word, or like kind of bullied by a group walking up the thing. I will say, man, Kenny just kept on walking. It was very weird. But we were like go to each other's house, hang out like all the time, friends. But he just like didn't help.
Yeah, weird. Yeah. And I think like when you realize where you grew up and how you grew up, it makes kind of who you are with all the experiences. And that's why I love this documentary, because I think this guy is, it's kind of what we said at the beginning, where it's like, this is like a love letter to the Red Dog. This isn't like a tear down the Red Dog. That was a place where fucking, you know what I mean?
It's an unyielding look at it. I mean, like they don't pull any punches.
Well, I do love it's also the people that live to tell the tale, because a lot of these people are not, you know, 70 years old, 50 years later, looking back at their lives. Like, I love the perspective of the people that made it this far.
Do you have the documentary pulled up?
I have the whole thing pulled up.
Yeah, because, dude, I love, first off, my favorite documentary, the way I knew this documentary is going to be great with the way it started off, where he was like, one of the first memories I have was of the Red Dog is me and Nasty Kathy. And you're like, oh, you guys know someone named Nasty Kathy? That's fucking great.
Nasty Kathy.
What's up, campers? I'm DJ Lou. On this week's Lost Tapes Quarantine Tapes, Richie Redding is hanging out when the guys discover the biggest dong they've ever seen. No shit. What a whopper. Check it out.
James and the Giant Dong.
Oh, you got to show Richie James and the Giant Dong.
Everyone's naming him King Cock, but I don't know.
Dude, this guy is, I mean.
Christine's been frantically writing him long emails, sonnets.
She keeps deleting them, then starting to write again. She doesn't know what to do. She's all confused.
She filled a whole songbook full of tunes, of odes to Dong.
To a white Dong.
I've just been banging out some of
She goes, I think it's going to start like this. You're big, but you don't hurt. I like that. I think I like that.
It's called Stretch Me Gently.
Yeah, dude. It's called All Worn Out.
I'm all worn out. Show Richie the dick. Stop hogging the dick pic and show it to Richie.
Yeah.
Dude, it'd be funny if her hand just appeared and she went, sorry, I don't want to get this all over my computer.
Where does it stack up?
Sorry, my hands are all covered in lady boogers.
Where does it stack up to who?
Tommy Lee.
Oh, dude, Tommy Lee looks like a child compared to this.
Just Tommy Lee. What? Tommy looks like he has a drumstick.
Yeah, you go, cool, Finny. Cool, thinner. What's up, Stephen King's thinner?
This guy has, and I'll say it again, the most beautiful cock I've ever seen in my life.
Holy fuck.
He's also handsome.
We should show this guy's dick to our guests that we're friends with, just to be like, by the way, Black Lou called it out. He's like, why aren't you guys talking about his veiny bottom? Look at his veiny bottom. He is. He's like, he's got fucking.
I thought he was a scarf.
No, man, he's got pegs. He's the only cock to have pegs on it. If you want to ride your friends around.
When you feel the ridge, you know you've bottomed out.
She goes, am I supposed to feel the ridges? He goes, that's my bad, babe. My bad, babe. You're only supposed to get 60%.
That's the warning tread, like when your wheels hit the.
And we can confirm that's not just like an airplane soda.
That's a legit soda.
That's a 12-ouncer, bud.
Buddy, that is French bread.
Yeah. The guy's got a baguette of cock.
Dude, he really does. Bonjour, monsieur.
He goes, damn, you want some jam with that loaf, bro?
Dude, that would be funny if he pulls it out where he's like, our meal today is a baguette. And she goes, oh my God, your dick is the size of a legit baguette.
I mean, that is it's so impressive. So,
but
so
that thing's got to be a nuisance, right?
Well, Jacob, what did you, yeah, that's what I was asking. Jacob, what's the question you asked when we went to break that we yelled at you about?
No, I was going to say, would you want to follow this guy to be the guy right after him?
Not with somebody I'd love, but I mean, I would want to see what would happen. I do. I'd be curious to jump in there, but I wouldn't go in there and be like, hey, this is the one where I show you who you really showed up to fuck. Like, I would be doing it like, let me see if you feel different now.
Yeah.
I would probably say, look at all the room for activities.
Start reading to her.
Yeah. I go, oh my God, you know what? I can really, you got a little wiggle room in here.
I had a, like my first group sex possibility was in England when I was, it was like the summer after my sophomore year in college. And it was a very generous woman. And it was me and this dude who's like 6'5", and his nickname was the Goose because he had like a goose neck of a dick that he'd pull out at parties. Oy. And he was about to go first. And I looked at him like, come on, man.
Yeah. Like, dude, it's called batting cleanup in the States. I'm going to need to lead off if you don't mind.
I didn't have to say anything. I just gave him a look like, dude, you know.
Following that, and then your dick is like the nightstick in the trash can, like how they wake up Marines. Get it on, gang. Up and at them, fairies.
But even him seeing that look from Richie, and he goes, oh, you're right, Bubba, can't he be splitting there the way I am? The old goose knows when to go second. Get in there, give her a nice rudgering. I'm going to put her through the wall.
And by the way, does it hurt more? Talk about catching people sexting. If someone's trying to like hide it from you, if your chick's trying to hide it from you and then you see it, is it even a double dagger if the guy's just got a moose hog bigger than yours?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I think the pain is different. I think it's more of I think discovering the first thing that we're talking about is an anger inducing thing. I think the second one you're talking about completely sucks the hope out of you.
And that's why, because the reason is because then you go, oh my God, what is he? You go, here's the thing is first you're angry because you're like, I give this girl emotion. I give her love. I try to take care. I do all these things. You know what I mean? And then when you realize like, what is it? What the fuck could I have done different? And then you look at that cock and you go, nothing. It's 100% because of that. She's leaving me for this guy's cock solely, and that would hurt the worst.
Yeah. And then he could toss you a son.
What does this guy have that's so big? Oh.
Yeah, you go, you know what? I just went into the info on your texts, and I'll see you later. You want me to pack your bags, or I don't know.
This guy's playing wiffle ball with the big red bat. That's yeah. No fair. Nothing but homers all day.
You got your yellow fucking thin stick bat just knocking fucking grounders.
Dude, here's the worst part. If Christine wanted to fuck a large dick while I was not here away from home, she'd have to tell the guy to bring his own condoms.
That's funny.
Do you have some there? He goes, yeah, but not for you.
Yeah. I think they're going to hurt more than help you.
Hope you enjoyed this week's Best of the Bonfire. You can listen to the show live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. East on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Be sure to follow us on all social media at The Bonfire SXM.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.